Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus.
Father, we worship you. We glorify thy name, Lord. Thank you for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that has brought us together again in fellowship, Lord. Lord, we've been, you know, being about our business just as the scripture commanded. Study to be quiet, doing your business, waiting for the coming of the Lord. That is the instruction of the Lord to us at the age closest in the epistles. Lord, we thank you. Even so, let us abide, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, expectation, whether you come in the evening, or you come in the morning, or in the noon, it shall make no difference. We come by the grace of the Lord, we'll be ready. Having heard your instruction, be ye also ready. For in an hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So we thank you, Father. Even so, keep us watching and be obedient and be submissive completely to you, Father, and to your perfect will for our lives. Lord, we thank you for again gathering together. Thank you for your great faithfulness in the days past, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thou that daily loads us with benefits, Lord, we thank you. If with joy we enter the new week, Lord, declaring to principalities and power, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so shall we be. We are inspired by the word of our mouth. And it is the word of God. Lord, we thank you. So as we read the scripture this morning, we are trusting you as always, Lord, oh God. Lord, Bible says, your path did all draw fatness, the fatness of the house of the Lord, of the goodness of the Lord, of the riches of your glory. Let it know a light, a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path is this word. We shall never walk in darkness, Lord, because you have given unto us the light of life. Thy word have thou exalted, O Lord, above all that your name is, and your word, O God, is glorified. Thank you, Father, as we read this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this morning, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so I'm talking about the appearances of God. See, it not just set up shop 2,000 years ago. The prophet said that in Malachi, I believe it is 5:2, who is going as being of old, from everlasting. Praise the Lord. And I believe we're going to even probably get that scripture in the course of our discussion this morning. So now, the appearances of God. Well, I think the major part of this will be what I call the theophanies, that is the theophanies, So one of the most mysterious events in the Old Testament are the theophanies. And in case you are wondering what a theophany is, it's a Greek word, a compound word. Theo, meaning God. Theino, meaning appear. So theophany means appearance of God. If you have been hearing the word theophany, theo means God in Greek, it's a compound word. And phaoni, which is means appear. So theophanies meaning the appearances of God. So thus, theophanies means appearances of God. And a theophany is the appearance of God in the flesh. And the outstanding theophanies of the Old Testament are described in Genesis chapter 14 and 18, where God appeared to Abraham. He chose a race. After the fall, he made up his mind that before even the war began, that he will redeem the human race to himself. And the chosen race was Abraham. The Bible says, in that seed shall all the nations of the world be blessed, right? So anyway, he began to appear to him in the theophany. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 14. So, and the appearance to Abraham as Melchizedek. See? The theophany. God appearing in the flesh. Well, unless by revelation, a casual reader of the Bible will not know these things, I'm going to let you know. But we know God is closing the age. He has done great things for us, revealing himself to us. So, Genesis 14:14. And when Abraham heard that his brother, meaning Lot, was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursue them unto Heba, which is on the left hand of Damascus, right there in Syria, you know. And he brought back all the goods, you know, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him, see, and at the valley of Sheve, which is the king's dale. Now verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And this Melchizedek, he was a priest of the Most High God. That Most High God means El Elyon. Praise the Lord. That's what it means. El Elyon, the Most High God in Hebrew. And he blessed him and said, bless the Abraham of the Most High God. That's what is used all over the place. El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, the same word in Hebrew and so on, that you know, which has delivered thy enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all, the Bible said. So the question that had to be answered, you know, by which many of God people don't even know is, who is this Melchizedek actually? Who is he, you know? Well, even the psalmist, you know, by divine revelation begin to tell us about him, about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Messianic Psalm, Psalm 110 verse 4, tells us this about Christ, right? And the Lord has sworn, I will not repent. Thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. The inspired writer of the book of Hebrews, which is the Holy Ghost, is the author of all the Bible and things like that. The Bible says we are told that all scripture is by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God is faith as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So in Hebrews 6, verse 20, towards the end of it, Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And he continues in Hebrews chapter 7, answering the question with this Melchizedek. Talking about Theophany, God appearing in the flesh, right? You know, in Hebrews 7, he continues, verse 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, that's also Jerusalem, you know, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham. Can you see how the Bible agree? We're at the Genesis chapter 14, we're at the end of the book now in Hebrews, talking of the same thing, consistent, you know, no contradiction of anything. Who met Abraham, returning from the slaughter of the kings, and blessed him. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all. First, be by interpretation king of righteousness. This makes sense. King of righteousness. Who can be the king of righteousness but the Lord Jesus Christ? No other one. I don't know of any, you know. And after that, also the king of Salem, which is king of peace. What did Isaiah say? His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, and the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, you know. So you can't miss him. No child of God should miss him. So we see that idea. Without father, look at that description here. Without father, without mother, without descent. See, I don't know of any human being that meets this description. See, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made that unto the Son of God abideth a priest continually. Have you ever seen a priest that abide continually? The children of Levi, they come and go. They are replaced as the reason of death, right? Hebrew, even the book of Hebrew tells us chapter 9, most part of it, how they come and go. But this one abided continually, eternally, an eternal priest for his people and so on. Now, consider how great this man, what they call him a man, was. Unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them at all received tithes of Abraham, meaning Melchizedek he did, and blessed him that had the promises too, you know. Promises include the coming of the Messiah by, you know, through his seed shall all the nations will have been blessed. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. I mean, Abraham was the less, and this makes like a bless him, you know. And here, men that die receive tithes, meaning the children of Levi, yeah, they die. And but there with Abraham, he received them, of whom it is witness that he liveth. No wonder after he rose from the dead, at the eye of Patmos to join the beloved. Yeah, what he said, talking of him that liveth, right? Revelation 1:18. I'm he that liveth. See that word? The same word. And was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And he put in there. Praise the Lord. He's going forth as being of old. Mark said, from everlasting, you know. So you see Abraham there, you know, favor of God and so on, the chosen family and so on, that, you know. I mean, all the kings, so King of Sodom couldn't battle all those kings that came around him and so on. But being the elected of God, he was a prophet. I'm going to come to it later. Not only was he a prophet, you know, elect of God, type of the elect. He was a warrior, praise God. We are soldiers of Christ, bless God. All the hidden kings couldn't subdue. I mean, King Sodom, the king of Sodom, but Abraham with 318 of his own household, of course, with the favor of God, come and destroy all those invaders, free his brother, a type of Christ too, come to redeem his people. Say, ye are my friends, right? He redeemed us. It's a type of Christ to India, you know, he types so many things like that, you know. So, and free Lord, you know, and deliver him, and all that, you know. So he came like that. So the Almighty God in Theophany, you know, appearing to Father Abraham and so on. So we see right there in this place, after the battle, Melchizedek, this, you know, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine and blessed Abraham, meaning that he had communion, if you will, with Abraham. And he's speaking about the future. You know, what he did in the past is a type of what he will do in the future. Of course, 2,000 years later, we know Christ came about 2,000 years after Abraham, right? You know, 2,000 years later, as he was finishing up his earthly ministry, the Lord, the same Lord Jesus, you know, as one of that, you know, took bread again and wine and had communion with his disciples. That's what he said in Matthew 26. He said, as they were eating, Jesus, Matthew 26:26, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body. And he took a cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, drink it all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins. Well, I mean, partly of what he did, he broke bread with Melchizedek, with Abraham in the beginning, at the end of the battle and so on, total of the kings and things like that, you know. As he was finishing 2,000 years later, as he was finishing his earthly work, he broke bread with the disciples and so on. And he promised again that he will do it again. He promised it again, you know, in the next verse, 29th of Matthew 26, and here the third time, he do it again. He said, but I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Yes. Now, and we know it's been some 2,000 years ago since he said that, so we can see that. I mean, it's not far off anymore. As we often say, it is later than we think. Praise the Lord. We should lift up our heads, sir. Our redemption draws nigh. We are looking for him. We are expecting that he is that marriage supper of the Lamb in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the great and blessed hope, you know, is upon the people of God. So So now we see right there. Now he just appeared just one time like that to Abraham. He appeared unto him again in the plains of Mamre. You know, this time he brought two angels with him. Looking at the scripture and reading between the lines. Brought two angels with him this time around, you know. Genesis 18, verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, around noon time, as you know. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. And lo, three men, see, stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground. See, Bible will put it in different form and say three men, right? That's not the whole story, you know. But even the Bible says in the beginning, say the Lord appeared unto him. So it now says three men, right? So people don't read it properly, they will think that are different, no, in the answer. Well, being a prophet, Abraham has spiritual discernment. And it seems apparent that from the moment he saw this man, the Bible said there as well, it says that they were not ordinary inhabitants of Canaan. Yes, being a prophet, right? Oh, he says he's a prophet. Yes, he's a prophet. We are told, you know, in ahead of myself now, Genesis 20, when, you know, Abimelech, the king of Gerar, and they would have taken his wife, Sarah, for wife, and things like that. The Lord rebuked the king in Genesis 27. You see, Abraham is type of, he types so many things. But we say he's a prophet. Genesis 20, verse 7. Now, therefore, talking to Abimelech now, restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet. You see that? You know, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. In fact, that particular prayer that Abraham prayed for Abimelech was the first recorded prayer in the Bible, actually, you know. Many things begin with first thing with Abraham, actually, you know. Anyway, so he was a prophet. So he had discernment. He knew these were not ordinary men. And even further, you know, he discerned there is a great, that, you know, that there is a difference in greatness among the three that appear to him. He knew that also, you know, that there's a different order of greatness between the three and so on. Meaning that he knew that one of them is the Lord himself, Theophany, God in the flesh. After all, Bible tells us in Genesis 18 verse 1, the Lord appeared, right? So that's why, and you know, and he had to meet them. And he said, my Lord. Though he met three of them met him, he didn't say my Lord's, right? Say my Lord. Anyway, and that is in a, so anyway, so Abraham invited them to have dinner with him, you know. Can you imagine? The Almighty God. No, anyway, but three, first of all. And he said, my Lord, if thou have, there are three of them, right? But he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away. I pray thee for thy servant. Of course, to know the significance of that. Two chapters later, when the Lord will send those two angels to go to Sodom, and they go to Sodom, and when Lord saw them, he said, my Lords, you know. See? But Abraham discerned, he was a prophet, you know. There are different orders in the elect body. As one star divided from the other, and there are different calling, there are different offices, and something like that, you know. Lord couldn't discern. Call them Lords, I think that's, you know, but Abraham said, my Lord, that's only one Lord there, you know. So we see the idea. Anyway, so and so we begin to you know, invite them to dinner. So, and you know, he has a sense of humor Abraham had, you know. So and begin to tell them, I don't want to, he didn't want to make to his invitation to dinner to be like a burden to himself. In fact, he called it that. Let me read to you. He called it a morsel of meal, a morsel of bread. So they might not fear becoming a burden to him. He made light of his generosity, speaking of it as but a morsel of bread. And you will see what he called a morsel. Now, when you see what you said before this man, you want to call it a man, as you know. I mean, so indeed, he gives them to understand that by accepting his invitation or hospitality, they were obliging him, meaning they are doing him a favor. That's what he kind of I mean, a humor that Abraham had as well as, you know, he had his troubles like any other believer. I mean, type or kind of the type and life of a believer, you know. So we know that anyway. So verse 4 of Genesis 18. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourself under the tree, and I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort your heart, sir. After that, you shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And he said, so do, as you have said. So what Abraham, he quickly called Sarah, go, make some bread in there. And he ran to the ark. He took the best of his, whatever he has, sheep, and some of the best of them, you know. And give his servant to prepare it, you know, while he talked to them. Soon, before you know it, an appetizing meal was ready and set before his visitors, you know. In verse 8 of Genesis 18, and he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed. That's a morsel of bread. See, you know, he was so humble, you know, as well as, you know, which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat.
So we
have stayed there long. to kill the cow or whatever he killed, and to make the bread. Praise God. God had patience, right? Praise the Lord. He is patient with his people. He doesn't rush and sort of that. Today is the God of eternity, right? What we hurry for? Praise the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful. You know that how much he and Abraham type everything that he is to us, and even more to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know,
amen.
So he loved us so much. So and anyway, finishing their meal now, the aspect of their visit changed abruptly. They changed the subject matter, you know, from the dinner and things like that, you know. And two things were to be discussed and so on. So they made known that they had some serious business to discuss now. And quickly, they came to their to the point. And one of them, of course, the Lord and so on. Ask Sarah, ask Abraham, where is Sarah, thy wife? You know, of Abraham answered, where? In verse 18, at 9, behold, in the tent. Yes, we know it did not appear, but so interesting thing happened in this visitation. When he appeared like this, he has a mission, either to bring forth a blessing or to pronounce some judgment via the angels, or to give a commission, praise God, or to leave a blessing. Anyway, in this case, it's in both cases, not to give a blessing to Abraham, I think that, you know. So anyway, in Genesis 18, verse 10, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah had it in the tent door, which was behind him. Well, of course, Sarah, behind the tent door, had this word, sir, but did not yet recognize or identify who these visitors were, like Abraham really knew as well as, you know. It was not common in those days, even today, when people want to bless their friend. Oh, God will bless you with children and all this kind of thing like that, you know. Even though things may not come to pass, so that is common, right? But this one is quite different, you know. And so she laughed within herself inside the tent while the Almighty God was there in the flesh and so back in the tent like that. And Sarah was laughing in there, you know. And the Lord knew that he laughed even though he was back in the tent. And she was in the tent as well. And verse 13, and the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I am old? See? The Lord where the thoughts, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's the word of God, right? It's a discerner of the intents of the heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is the word of God, you know. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And the word was God. Always the word, the logos. Praise the Lord. So he knew everything. Anyway, where am I? Verse 14. Now, is anything to that, you know? anything too hard for the Lord? See, praise God. Can you see it's the Lord? It is the Lord himself. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. So we see right there, you know, even everything else declared that it is the Lord himself, you know. Of course, Sarah now, he was afraid, denied that he loved, and she denied that she loved, and so on, that, you know. But the Lord began to say to him in verse 15, but nay, thou didst love, Sarah, stop telling lies, you know. I know all things, you know. Anyway, so deep down in her heart, Sarah was actually a woman of faith when all is said and done, you know. See the kindness of the Lord. After being reproved by the Lord, she accepted the promise that the Lord would give her a child. Though having passed the age of childbearing, it seemed impossible. God has said it. Is anything too hard for the Lord? When we start to do things ourselves, we can meet impossibilities. When we turn and believe the word of God, the Lord says all things are possible, right? Amen. To him that believeth, praise the Lord. Amen. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Have the mind of Christ, amen? Amen. And the mind of Christ is the mind of the word of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Nothing that confronts you in this world that the Lord does not have answer for. Praise the Lord. Amen. That should be your mindset, no matter what. Are you going to have difficulties? Yes. Abraham had difficulty. Abraham, tons of them, amen? Praise the Lord. Any sin at all that ever passed this territory. Oh, no, what Job. A man that's born of woman is of many troubles, right? Tell me what sin that have literally go through things. Unless that person is a bastard, amen? Bible says so. Praise the Lord. But the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to overcome all things. Praise God. So that's where the mystery of it, and all that, you know. So anyway, so yes, she accepted the God's promise eventually. And you're going to see now that she was even a woman of faith. So being reproved of the Lord, she accepted the promise that the Lord will give her a child. Look at what has to take place. In fact, God has to bring them to a very all the organs of the body. He is the creator, right? What is it to the Almighty? Praise God. What is it to the Almighty? You know, he created everything in the beginning. You know, so what a miracle that was, and so on, you know. So any birth, even today, is a wonder. But this one requires a supernatural miracle, a creative act of the Spirit of God, amen? Even ordinary birth requires a miracle in itself, but this one, supernatural one, that will be answered, that, you know, a creative act of the Spirit of God. We are saying this, that we say no matter what confronts you in this world, the Lord Jesus has the answer, amen? That's why we are reading this kind of thing here this morning, you know, yes, in Hebrews 11:11, to see that she has faith, you know. Through faith, you see that? Also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had promised. Let us judge the Lord faithful, amen? Amen. In all of God's promises, all the promises of God in him, the Lord Jesus, they are yea and they are amen to the glory of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. His word is wonderful, it's true. You know, and so the Lord Jesus, referring to this theophany, when he came by in the incarnation, he told the Jews about this scenario in John chapter 8, verse 56. So they didn't know nothing. You know, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not even yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And the Lord told them another bump into them. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Don't you read the book of Micah, you know, whose God has been of old from everlasting, amen? Praise God. See, you know, so he was right, and so that, you know, I am. Then took this up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. You know what? You know, he was made lower than the angel for that we're able to die for our sins. Amen. Even the night of the arrest, when the first of all get near him and so on, who seek he, they all fed on him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He had to, you know, he, I can lay this life and I can take it off again. He said, praise Hallelujah. The Lord. No man taketh it from me. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Even 20 years later, he said, you know what? Put down this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. Personal prayer, amen. Easy. Wow. There are no three gods, amen.
Mm.
Pray, I, Jesus, will raise it up. Yeah. Whether I come as an angel and son or that thing, it doesn't matter. I will raise it up. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
So magnifying the Lord. That's what they do in the book of Acts, preaching the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus. So we see that right here. So he passed by them and so on many times. Just putting that through the breath of a heel, just passed by. When he preached the first sermon in Luke chapter 4, you know, and they were flag bastard and so on, you know, when he opened, according to his manner, he went to the temple and was open the book to read the Bible or the Torah, whatever they have. Bible said that they find where it was written, the book of Isaiah and so on, that, you know, the spirit of the Lord is upon me, and so on, that people say. Now I say this day, this scripture is fulfilled, amen. They were mad because they know what he was talking about. That Isaiah wrote about him, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have told him, you know, from the, he just passed away and just went his way. Until he laid it that nobody could take it away from him. Yes, the Almighty God, Theophany, visiting Abraham, he is God, a type of the elect, meaning Abraham. God Almighty ate butter, yes. And the milk, I drank milk and eat calf, you know, he is God, you know. The Jehovah God of the Old Testament, the same Lord Jesus Christ of the New Testament. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know what? That being the same yesterday, today, and forever, even after he rose from the dead, he still ate with the disciples. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I give one scripture in Acts 10, in the house of Cornelius. In the pre-incarnation, you know, he ate bread and drink, ate butter with Abraham. Even when he rose from the dead, he's still the same Almighty God, right? Out of Cornelius in Acts 10:14, while Brother Peter was preaching, you know, of the resurrection of the law and so on to the first Gentile finally to be saved. And he said in verse 14, him, meaning Jesus, God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now watch this. Now not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, sir. After the return, he ate with them, he drank with them. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now that's the only way he appeared as Theophany to the chosen family. Not really, you know. His grandson, Jacob, an adventurer, you know his life and son of that, you know. He tricked his brother, he stole the birthright. He stole the patriarchal blessing, you know, and run away from home, right? You know, and let's talk about him a little bit and so on. He appeared to Jacob. So that is in Genesis 32, book of Genesis and so on. Again, one of the most significant and mysterious passages in the Old Testament is this chapter and so on, that, you know, in this chapter about Jacob and 32 of Genesis 24. And Jacob now he ran away from home after he got he stole a particular blessing from Esau and he stole a birthright and so for that, you know. You see, Esau, he doesn't even know the value of a birthright, you know. Can you imagine that? You know, because what a birthright is, but Jacob, he knew what the birthright meant. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and ran away from home, took him 20 more years. Now coming back, I had all kind of experiences when in those 20 years and so on, that, you know. And God told me to not go back home, you know. Go back and everything like that, you know. As he was nearing home, just to paraphrase the story, now word came that his brother Esau was on his way with 400 men of war, you know. And, you know, and he thought, oh, he's going to take a revenge. Yeah, it could be a revenge and so on, that, you know. So he was in a desperate situation and so on, that, you know. So that night, you know, he prayed, Lord, you told me to leave and to come back home and just make a petition before the Lord, you know, and then what he could do humanly, he did. Let me take the cattle and the people, let me divide it to two halves. One half, yeah, and the family to two halves and so on. And if he can strike one party, the other party will escape, right? So he did what he could do humanly, but there's something he couldn't do. You know, that required God. So he continued in prayer. So that night in verse 24 of Genesis 32, and Jacob was left alone. So he just had to get alone. You know, after you have done all you know what to do, then you have to then get along with God. That is what is the lesson we have to do, you know. Get along with God. That's a secret in there, right? And you know, they are wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. That's verse 34 of Genesis. So if we stop there, you will think, well, he was wrestling with a man, right? But we know it was more than a man that was wrestling with. So 35. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. We're going to look at this conversation with the Almighty that Jacob had and see what we can learn from there. Bless me, and said, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. See, right there, talking about God. He was writing with a man, if you want to call him a man, but he said, it's God. And then Jacob asked him, okay, if I tell you my name, now what is your name? Praise the Lord. And Jacob said unto him, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou hast uttered my name? And he just blessed him there, you know. See, he blessed Abraham, right? So he blessed him here as soon as I know. And Jacob called the name of the place, the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Amen. Amen. So God face to face, right? Is the Almighty Theophany, you know, God in the flesh, and so on, you know, appearing to the, you know, to the elected of that day. So, well, this seems so mysterious and close in mystery, and that's true. It is also revealing of some great truths of the spiritual world. These things were there to, we can learn as Christians many, many things from this recorded, inspired word of God. The Bible is history, it's prophetic, it's scientific, it is the word of God, amen? And we can learn from there all the time, you know? So any true science, again, must land up with that scripture, it's a false or pseudoscience. So it will be beneficial to us to take a look. Some of the things that happen, these puzzling incidents of Jacob's wrestling with an angel, you know, well, we know it is the Lord. First of all, it was in the supreme crisis. I mean, what can be more? What you've been working for 20 years could be gone overnight now if Esau will have his way. You know, 20 years of labor, he was cheated many, many times by his own, you know, by his own mother's brother and so on. That, you know, he labored so much, you know, so much labor. When he lost rearing the sheep, when the sheep get low, he didn't report to the bank, he paid out of his pocket. Now, coming back now, everything is at stake now. It could be gone overnight. 400 men against how many of them, you know? So it was in the supreme crisis. The type of a Christian life, it was the elect of God, right? You know by now, we encounter all kinds of things, amen? So let us learn from him what he did here, you know, and see how he prevailed and things like that, you know? So in this supreme crisis, Jacob came to the end of himself. Praise God. Coming to one's wit's end, right? One time or the other, you come to your wits. I've been there many times. You've been there many times. Come to your wits' end. What do you do? So, this man was unusually resourceful. I mean, look at what he did in Laban. He even told Laban, before I come, your sheep and goats are few. But now when I come, they are now many. See? He was a resourceful man. Praise the Lord. You know, so not a lazy man or something like that, you know. An unusually resourceful man. And he at last reached the place where he could go no further whatsoever. He hit a wall or a brick, as they say in the world, and so on. He had already, of course, petitioned the Lord in the earlier verses, but now his soul was reaching out to God in a desperate effort to get an answer. And here are some of the things we want to talk about here this morning. Examples in the Bible of the meaning. I mean, it's an example of what we say praying through, right? What he experienced here. So, and we are told that and there wrestled a man with him, and so that, you know,
Well, this supernatural being apparently initiated this wrestling, you know. But is it just physically like the wrestling champion I was on the TV? That kind of wrestling, physical wrestling? No, not really. I don't think so. You know, so what to be a physical wrestling and you come an angel? What is man's strength compared to the strength of an angel? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Of the angels, Bible tells us in Psalm 103, verse 20. So it cannot be physical wrestling now. 103:20 of Psalm. Bless the Lord, ye is angel that excel in strength. Amen. Amen. What is the strength of a man? Of God, it's even the Almighty Himself now in Theophany, right? It could not be a physical wrestling. Praise the Lord. This is a spiritual wrestling. I don't know that, you know. So it was a spiritual struggle. And have been made possible because the soul of Jacob had in this hour of agonizing crisis, you know, enter into a spiritual realm beyond that in which ordinary prayer is made. He has entered a spiritual arena or realm beyond ordinary prayer. Praise the Lord. That's what is happening right here. You know, this struggle, as well as you know. And in his travail, Jacob had broken through from the natural realm into the supernatural, you know. And it was there that God could deal with him, given his nation. And many of us too. Praise the Lord. You know, so only those individuals, what I'm talking about now, only those who have themselves gone through a great spiritual crisis, perhaps can fully comprehend the meaning of such a struggle this man encountered that night, you know. The spiritual struggle, I told that, you know. So, moreover, in his wrestling, we discern that not only was Jacob seeking to get his petition through to God to ensure his deliverance from Esau, his brother, but also God himself, on his own part, had now taken the step not only to save Jacob from the results of his own misdeeds. Yeah, he caused all these things, you know. And, you know, he's reaping what he sowed, right, you know, but in providence anyway. So anyway, but God wants to change his very nature, which in the past has caused him all these troubles. Praise God. See, God wants to change his nature, you know. So, and there's such a thing, of course, as blessing against powers of darkness. We, in the New Testament, we know in Ephesians 6:12, right? That same word is used, wrestle, right? So it's a spiritual wrestling. We are told in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, see, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Anyway, there is also a realm of action which extends beyond this, in which God wrestles with us. Yes, we are learning this thing from this experience of Jacob and some of that, you know. There is such a thing with God where he wrestles with us. Prevailing prayer may give us victory over Satan. Yes. But it does not necessarily change our nation. That's right. Yeah, prevailing prayer, you can change and defeat Satan and so on, but does not actually change our nation. There is a deeper experience in God by which our prayer is not only answered, but our very nation is changed. Such a realm in God, and every Christian, I should live in that realm. Praise the Lord. That's right. So the wrestling with God is not something where that can be understood or explained, but has to be experienced. Amen. I'm surprised here. You can't explain this, but you have to experience it to know. I believe many of us have been there many times, and we are here today by the grace of God. Amen. Now, the wrestling of God with Jacob require in return a wrestling on Jacob's own part. Like I say, this is really mysterious, but the prophet Hosea even repeats the statement, declaring that Jacob had power over the angel of the Lord. Can you imagine having power the angel of the Lord? Let's see what Hosea say about this particular scenario. Even the prophets understood this thing. They talked about it. Hosea, the 12th chapter, verse 3. You know, this particular encounter with, you know, Theophany and so on. Talking about Jacob here, Hosea 12:3. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. You know, they were twins, right? He took his brother by the heel in the womb. And by his strength, he had power with God. See? Yea, He had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. See, he had power over the angel. He prevailed against God. Wow, what a scenario. Anyway, the time angel of God, when it's the angel of the law, many of the time, the angel of the law is equated with the Lord himself in many, many scriptures. I just leave it right here, you know. Anyway, what a strange statement here that is made here, in which Jacob is represented as prevailing over God. Strange indeed. Jacob, in wrestling with the angel, in some mysterious way, was in reality causing the divine power, to come to grips with his own nature. That is wrestling, the divine power of God to come into grips with his own nature as he wrestled India. No, I don't know. Yes, I said that. Jacob, in wrestling with the angel, in some mysterious way, was in reality causing the divine power to come to grips with his own nature. Right. So now, the effect was so drastic that it can be said to cause a veritable personality change in Jacob. You know, a matter of life. You know, when he went to Laban, he met somebody who is more cunning than himself, right? Praise the Lord. He has done all these things now, but Laban outwit him, right? 10 times that man changed his way. He couldn't do anything about it, amen? He even changed wives on him, right? I'm sorry?
This is his uncle.
That's right, uncle. So we see that idea. So, you know, it's a joyful thing to just know about these things. So it will help us in our day-to-day battle with the Lord and so on, right? You know, so the wrestling in prayer. So the wrestling in prayer is something that is not given much notice today. But we know, I believe everyone here, you know, I've encountered spiritual wrestling all our lives in this race, but it's a joyful race, amen? It's a glorious race, praise God. So, it's wonderful, glorious, and so on. Anyway, nevertheless, we know that even the Lord himself alluded to spiritual wrestling. That himself went through that many times and so on. He gave us 2 parables in the book of Luke to allude to this kind of spiritual wrestling. I won't read them. It's in Luke 4. The friend at midnight, right? Talking about it's all about importunity, amen? Never giving up. Praise the Lord. I mean, never giving up. God is with you, and so that you know. So, in the same book of Luke, in verse 18, the widow and the unjust judge, right? Importunity. Praise God. So, that's what the Lord is talking about. The same thing here. Never giving up. What is your right? When you know it is God's will to have anything, never give up, amen? You see? Praise the Lord. So keep on keeping on with the word of the Lord. You know, blessed be the name of no. Well, so we see that one idea. Now let's see 1 or 2 things before we begin to round this up here. Long through the night, talking about Jacob now, the wrestling continued. It was not until the breaking of day that the angel departed, really, you know. Although Jacob prevailed over God, if you want to say that way, in the sense that he obtained the answer to his prayer. So he prevailed. Yet, in the end, God must be the one that really prevails, amen? It has to be, it's not Jacob. So throughout the patriarch's life, in Jacob's life, throughout his life, God, in a sense, have been wrestling with him to overthrow the Jacob nation, the Alfred nation, amen? Praise the Lord, you know? And to make him a new man. Now in Christ Jesus, we are new creatures, amen?
Amen.
All things are passing away, praise God. We don't even, like one pastor said one time, when he was still an unbeliever, he's one of the father, Pentecostal fathers that got to glory. And, so when he was so sickly, when he was in school and so on, people were making fun of him, they make jokes. Later on down the road, he met a man, people who had been with him in the childhood. So then he said, look, he had to make, the man had to make some joke with him that he used to do in those days. And so, the man of God said, look, I'm not that person that you used to know in those days anymore, you know. Praise the Lord. The man was, what are you talking about, you know? Yeah, I'm a new creature in Christ, amen?
Amen.
All things are passed away, praise God. That's all I ought to be with every Christian. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So we see right here, even Jacob, even though he wasn't in the Christian time, but he had this kind of a nature that had to be changed, you know? and God changes for him and some of that, you know. So anyway, so despite God's wrestling, Jacob's stubborn nature still continued. We said that, you know, there was yet a strong tendency for him to scheme and to use tricky methods to achieve his purposes, you know. God, in the end, must sanctify and subdue that nature, you know, like he did in your life and my life. When the angel saw that he was not prevailing against Jacob, what did he do? Then he touched the hollow of Jacob's arm. It was out of joint. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you see, we can say this way and so on. So it would have been easy for the angel to have done that initially, to start this lesson with Jacob and so on, you know. But God is so kind now. He's so kind. So, you know, he did at the end. So all with the law, you know, so it would have been easier for the angel of the law to do this at the beginning, but God always seeks to achieve his end without giving us unnecessary pain or distress. Amen. But when this man's something continue, he give him what I will call a master stroke. Amen. You know, in his thigh, and was out of joy. So much so that even the angel don't even eat the thigh of a cow. Anyway, so, you know, God prevailed and some of that, you know. So now, what we can see again about this particular case is this. Notwithstanding, Jacob did not give up. That is the point why I'm reading this thing. Jacob did not give up, amen? Here was where Jacob really prevailed. With his tie out of joint now, you know, he ceases wrestling and clings to the angel, if you want to say that way, you know. And now his faith prevails in persevering prayer. And he said, I will not let thee go, he said, except thou bless me. That should be our attitude and so on, that, you know, yeah, when we are seeking something from the Lord and so on, you know. And so he blessed him. And so we see that here. So the angel, he gave him a new name now, you know. Israel, meaning a prince of God, after all night of wrestling, right? For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed, as we are read in that book of Genesis, in there, and so on, that, you know. So we too, I mean, we are going to have a new name, amen? We are going to have a new name, a white stone, which no man knew, but you that receive it. Praise the Lord when the battle is over. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I want to pick another one. Let's see Moses really quickly. I don't know what time I have here. Oh, okay. Moses, not really a theophany here. God appeared to him, but I'm going to get one more theophany before we close. Moses, you know, the appearance of Moses in the flame of fire. Now here's another man. We can learn something from him and so on. In the encounter, how the Lord appeared to him and so on. 40 years has he lived. You know his story, how he ran away from Egypt and so on, that, you know. Since Moses fled Egypt, and he was still in the desert, tending his father's in-law's sheep. 40 years later, after he ran away from Egypt and so on, that, you know. And no doubt, thoughts will occur to Moses from time to time, of the lost opportunity that you know, caused by his own rash act. Always something that you caused. What Jacob caused, right? But God delivered him, amen. So here is Moses also, by what he did as well, by which he might have wrought deliverance for his brethren, who were all toiling under the lash of the taskmaster. But alas, long ago, he had given up all hope of ever fulfilling his youthful ambition. All hope were lost. 40 years had gone back. This man is getting too old, you know. And little did he know or realize that those 40 years in the desert were in the providence of God. When you are the elect of God, amen, nothing is lost, amen. Praise the Lord. When you are foreknown before the world began, nothing is lost. That's what time with God, amen. Praise the Lord. So it was in the providence of God, you know, intended to prepare him for one of the most Herculean tasks that ever confronted any human being. Praise the Lord. See? Nothing was lost by a child of God. You are chosen of God. Not you, Moses. Predestination preserve you. Amen? Amen? To have lived, you know. So he is with you, you know. So so we see that one. So preparing for all these things. So anyway, so for he was the one who was to become the emancipator of his people. God, even that was shifted unto his brother, you know, I can't talk, I don't care, Moses, You are predestinated to do this job, amen?
Amen.
Why let your brother talk for you? He can talk for you, but you are predestinated, praise God. He has ordained something for you that only you can do. Anyway, so it was there. He who, by many signs and wonders, deliver them from the bondage of Egypt and leads, them toward the promised land. Moses, the patriot, had failed. That's right. But Moses, the chosen of God, succeeded, amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. That's what made the difference. Don't do it by your own strength, amen? The prophet had just reached 80th birthday at that time when this happened. So, one of these days, 80th birthday, and a rather late hour, indeed, it will seem to human being now, for one to begin his life's work. 80-year-old, right? When people are retiring, right? Praise God. Where you are divinely appointed and chosen of God, nothing can be compared to that. So yet, on a certain day, it yet bad day has passed. While he was taking his sheep into a remote area near Mount Sinai over there, an event will take place, sir, that will thrust him out of his self-imposed obscurity, throw him out of there into the spotlight of world attention, amen, and make him one of the half dozen or so greatest men of all history. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I just love these things as well. God's appearing to him and what happened to this great man of God. In Exodus 3, really quickly, I'm going to read quickly. 3:1. Now Moses, I can even skip the scripture, but let me read. And now Moses kept a flock of his of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Talking about God's appearances, right? That's how I'm reading this thing. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And don't forget, many times in the Bible, the word angel of the Lord can be equated to the Lord himself. Amen? And that is even the case here too, And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw, see, here you go, when the Lord saw, see, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. See, and he said, draw not nigh either, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, and the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Praise the Lord. Appearances of God, immediately Moses heard that the voice that he has spoken to him was the same voice he had 40 years ago. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he was speaking again to him. The voice continued to speak. He told him that God had not forgotten his people. Amen. God hadn't forgotten his people, nor the commission that he had given Moses himself many years before. See? Now, there was nothing that had prepared Moses thinking in any way for this totally unexpected development in his life. During the long period in the desert, he had apparently lost the bold, aggressive spirit that he had when he was a lad, back in Egypt. He had lost all those things. So nothing prepared for this hour, It has to be God himself. Praise the Lord. I like that place when it is only God. And when you are caught to your wits end, amen. And it just has to be God and God alone. Praise the Lord. And see what is also always beautiful. So he who 40 years ago before ran without being sent was now reluctant now to go at God's direct command. Human nation. Praise the Lord. See, surely this was the last man on earth that God would choose to accomplish the tremendous task of delivering nearly 2 million people from the yoke of a tyrant, a type of antichrist, that Pharaoh was, whose stubbornness has really known and equal in all issues. It was a type of the Antichrist. That this Pharaoh and so that, you know. Moses himself now. Suppose that he was totally unqualified and so on, began to protest to the law, make excuses and so on, began to protest and so on, you know. And so without going through to read what he was saying, you know, so no matter what he said, Moses was not convinced, he wasn't convinced at all and so on, you know. First of all, begin to argue. When I go back to the children of Israel, who would I tell send me, you know? Just contrast this one here. And that was in Exodus 3:14. And God said unto him, when they ask you, tell them, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Of course. Don't forget, in Egypt now, they have all kind of gods there, right? You know, they have human gods, they have semi-divine gods, they have sun gods, they have dead gods, they have mortal gods. The word I am really speak of the one that is eternal, amen?
Amen.
And never changes, amen?
Hallelujah.
Ever present, praise God.
Hallelujah.
I am. 400 years before, God had told Abraham, no, their father and son, that he would, the same Abraham, that he would deliver them from Egypt. That is in Genesis 15. I won't go there. God promised them 400 that he would be out of there and so on. I tell you, 400 years later, God is still God, amen? He didn't forget his promise. Times, years, centuries, never change God, amen? I am the Lord and I change it not. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God to manifest our mind and so on about the providence of God in our life. He is the timeless one. The everlasting one. The one who's going forth, like I said before, has been from old, from everlasting. Micah 5:2, you know. So this was the one that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And commissioned him to go and deliver the children of God, children of Israel, out of Egypt. I know we're running out of time. I pick one and I close. About this Theophanes and so forth, that you know. Daniel the prophet. So, in his final visions, they were recorded in Daniel chapter 10 through 12. You know, it was given to him in the third year of the reign of Cyrus, according to the scriptures. He was then went over 890 years at that time of age. And apparently, I don't know, guy in service, you know, at that time, as well as you know. He remained in Babylon, despite the fact that 2 years earlier, Cyrus has given the edict that he can go back to Palestine, right? And but he remained there. We don't know why. It could be because of his old age. He was over 90 years old, according to historical records, biblical records. Or because he has a divine instinct that God has more things for him to do or more things to reveal to him in Babylon. So maybe that's why he was staying there. We don't know. So he didn't go to Jerusalem at that time. So even though he prayed for the release, right? But he was staying there. So now this man was burdened for many things while he was in Babylon at that age and so on. First of all, after the edict was given, a good number of the Jews did not return. They preferred the pleasure and luxury of Babylon than to the hardship of the work in restoring Jerusalem. So they stay in Babylon. Can you imagine? They were there. That is an issue, you know. So that burdened Daniel. So who had been crying and praying that they should be released? Number two, even those who went to Palestine, he has heard from report that the Samaritans, you know, who did not, they were only given an opportunity to partake in the restoration of Jerusalem. So they were mad and they were doing all kinds of things to prevent the restoration. So this thing began to burden Daniel the prophet as the old age. So then he now gave himself to a special time of prayer and fasting. That is given in Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was a call Belteshazzar. Talking about God's appearances, right? That's what brought me here. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days, he said, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. And from what we know in history, some of them are because of these things. And also the previous visions. There are some things you need to fully understand. So these things are causing some body, holy body, and some of the last thing was know. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till the old 3 weeks were fulfilled. So he went into a partial fast, if you will. So now, in passing this morning, given the age you are living in, so I've told you some of the background of why he was burdened, and some of that, for his people, Jerusalem, and some of that, So this example is one that we need to emulate today. We are as God's people. Beyond a doubt, this nation and the nations, has entered the most critical period of its history. So we all talk about him all the time, but let us really practicalize what we see that man called Daniel, Anyway, what are we today, even as we are standing now, elections are coming, right? We have heard how Iran and China are working everything that to see that Trump is not elected, right? And then that they want Biden to be elected and so on. I'm talking this nation has entered one of the most crucial part of its history. So in this coming election and so on, So China with Iran, they are doing all they can. Now Russia is working to make sure that Trump is there. They are all the nations and so on, So anyway, so we see what is going on in the world today. Enemies of this nation are rising up on every side, without and within. And this is a time when the moral condition of this nation is approaching the state of collapse. So that's what's happening in this nation, whether we like it or not. So we pray today, as we pray here always. We will dedicate a whole day of a month to be praying on these things, praying that God will grant that those who love this nation, America, we get a soul body for our people, for the people of this nation, of course, and other nations. So, and like Daniel of old, give themselves to prayer and fasting, amen, especially in the days to come. So anyway, on the 24th day of the first month, back to our subject now as I close here, but that's it, seem to drop here, what put Daniel to this kind of a condition, both the perception that he believed God has more things to give to him, he didn't go to Palestine right away, and the condition of the people who have even gone there, and those even refuse to go because they don't want to go and suffer anything, Anyway, so on the 24th day of the first month, Daniel was by the great river Hiddekel. That's your Tigris. That's about Tigris right there in today's language. So when he saw a vision of a supernatural being, back to my subject, you see, the Theophany, right? That's in Daniel 10 quickly. Daniel 10 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the river of the great river, which is Hiddekel, Tigris River, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were gathered with the fine gold of Ophir. His body also was like the berry, and his face as the appearance of lightning. Talking about Theophanes, right? As I'm closing with this one this morning. And his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I that alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet had I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in the deep sleep of my face, and my face toward the ground. So the question is this: who was this mighty personage that Daniel saw? Who was he? Well, all we can say is that it was a Theophany, God Almighty in the flesh, like he appeared to Abraham, like I've read before, appeared to Jacob. God in the flesh, he appeared to Abraham, we have been reading all morning long. The description in Daniel also reminds us of the vision at the Isle of Patmos of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same word. If you look at Revelation 1:12 and compare what I just read to you now, they are the same thing. In Revelation 1:12, he said, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me," almost verbatim, and so on, "spoke with me. Being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the middle of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle." Just like Daniel saw, you know. Now, his head and his ears were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burn in a furnace, and his voice as the voice of many waters. Daniel called it as a voice of multitude, right? Anyway, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his hand, right hand upon me, saying unto me, "Fear not, I am the first and the last." See, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. So we see that there. That must just be Almighty God in Theophany appearing that vision to Daniel. So Daniel's vision reveals Christ in his pre-incarnate state. That what Daniel saw. Why this one, the book of Revelation, shows the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified state, subsequent to the resurrection, but the same personality, the Almighty God. Both visions are strikingly similar, like I just showed you right now, and it is not difficult to understand that those Redane were terrified by the supernatural visitation and fled from the scene. Now, in finishing, lastly, where these people, when they saw this thing, they fled away, Daniel was left alone. What was Paul's experience? Not in Theophany here, but I will just read this sentence and I'll finish here. Just as those around Daniel fled from the scene of the vision, so did those who were around Paul, or Saul, if you as you call that, when he received the vision of Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts 22, verse 6. And here is what he was reporting what has happened in Acts 9. And he said, "And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and I was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a light, a great light," he said, "round about me, and I fell upon the ground, and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they had not the voice of him that spake to me." So, this morning, we just see the Theophany. You know what it means? Theo means God. Phanio means appearances. God appearances in the flesh. You know, I appear in so many forms. I just dwell mainly on the Theophany today. God appearing in the flesh and something like that, you know. Well, we thank God in the Christian dispensation. Now he came to the world, and then he now shows himself to the whole world in the incarnation. Praise the Lord. In the incarnation and so on. Come to redeem the world, you know. And now today, he lives in us. He dwells in us, amen. Just as he has promised. He dwells in us. He said, "I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will walk in them." And we are all together fulfillment of prophecy. Praise the Lord. We have been sealed. He is dwelling by his Holy Ghost. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. Nobody by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost of promise. So this morning, as we go this morning now, let us just see how great our Lord is. It's of infinite strength. And it's in you and it's with you always, and with you always. That's what he told Moses. Moses asking, "See, I will be with you. See, I will be with you." Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus, glory be to your name, Lord. Thank you for the patience, Lord. Now, when we get into this word of God, it is like an endless thing. And we know the time will come. When time shall be no more. in the name of the Lord Jesus. And know what to us look darkly as in the glass today, we will know, we will see face to face, Lord, we will see all things. But now that little we know of you, we will rejoice greatly, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to boost our faith, Lord, to make of us the overcomer that intended us to be right from the beginning. And so shall we be, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your love, your patience, your mercy, Lord, especially to the household of faith. Lord, bless the name, Lord. Father, we thank you. Lord, we commit the new week to your hand, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, commit our way unto the Lord. Trust us in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we know you love us. Know you care about us, Lord. Whatever burden may be in our heart this morning, by faith, we cast all this burden upon you, Lord, casting all our cares upon him, for you care for us, Lord. Every desire of our heart this morning, Lord, as it's written of you, you open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Let it be so this morning among us, O Lord, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, Father, we worship and we adore you, Lord. So, Lord, until we meet again, Lord, we know you are going to watch between us, Lord. We're going to gather again together with the Lord tarries, Lord, with great testimonies of your great goodness. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Thank you.